above the shadows, plant my feet on higher ground. Lift me up above the clouds, Lord, where the pure sunshine is found. Lift me up above my weakness, lift me up into thy strength. Lift me up above the shadows till I stand with thee at length. Lift me up above the shadows. Above the shadows, out of sorrow into joy. Lift me up above my grief, Lord, give me gold for my alloy. Then when death must claim my spirit and the storms of life are past, lift me up above the shadows till in heaven I stand at last. Lift me up. Lift us up above the shadows when to earth you come again. Let us be in the assembly as thy bride to ever reign. In thy kingdom full of glory, with our friends we'll ever be. Lift us up above the shadows there to dwell eternally. Lift me up above the shadows. Lift me up and let me stand.
To lift us up, no matter what kind of week we've had, no matter how we feel today. Amen. God can erase all of that and bless us and anoint us. Good to have you with us this morning. We appreciate you being here. It's good to feel the mighty presence of the Lord. Sister Jenny's going to continue to worship the Lord. She said she's just going to stay there and just let the Lord bless her. So we want you to feel the liberty to praise, to worship, and seek the Lord as you see fit. Amen. This is a not only a house of prayer, but it's a house of refreshing and restoration too. So, Brother Jim and his lovely wife are in the mountains this week enjoying a little time, a little R&R. So we're going to do our very best to carry on. Why don't we go ahead and get the offering out of the way? I'm not used to taking up money. In fact, I'm going to change the verbiage. I don't want to take up money. I'm going to receive the tithe and offering this morning. Amen? So if we could have our ushers come forward. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you. God, we lift up your holy name. Thank you for those who've gathered here today. Father, and I pray, God, that you would just rain your anointing down upon this service. Be with us now, Lord, through the singing part. God, the word to made, let it go out forth, Lord, as you see fit. God, we ask you now to bless this offering. God, take it, God, for the furtherance of your gospel, and we'll give you praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. He's going to be wonderfully praising and worshiping the Lord when we leave this walk of life, amen, to a better, better place. Just a few announcements this morning. March 10th, mark your calendar. That is this coming Friday night at Word of Hope. They will be beginning a three-day revival. And your pastor is going to be bringing the message this Friday night, the 10th. The service is at 7 o'clock. Word of Hope is out on 61. Before you reach the hospital. If you get to the hospital, you've passed it. It's on the left right before you get to Junior Food Store. Also, March the 26th, we will be having our community outreach, our multi-church service. We'll be here at 6 o'clock, and we're looking for a great time in the Lord for that. And I'm not sure. Oh, okay, that one's already been. Okay, so that's the only two announcements that I have. Turn it over to the choir at this time. Let's just worship.
Built up my own name, but the walls couldn't stand. I've trusted my own strength, but it was sinking sand. So I put my ruins into your hands, and I watch you restore them like only you can. Cause if the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. When it's built on His name, there's nothing gonna shake this ground. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. Ooh, the bricks may be weathered through storm and through fire, but what God holds together, it stands firm every time. 'Cause my life is anchored on this solid truth, that whatever God's building, no, it can't be moved. 'Cause if the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. When it's built on His name, there's nothing gonna shake this ground. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. As for me and my house, we're gonna serve You, Lord. So here's the keys, come on in. Everything we have is Yours. As for me and my house, we're gonna serve You, Lord. So here's the keys, come on in. Everything we have is Yours.
Oh, here's the keys, won't you come on in? Everything we have is Yours.
If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. When it's built on His name, there's nothing gonna shake this ground. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. When it's built on His name, there's nothing gonna shake this ground. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down.
The Lord builds the house, nobody can tear it down.
Brother Tom, you'll have to turn the volume up back there. I sang this song yesterday at the ladies' meeting, and Sister Linda asked me if I would sing it this morning, but she did an amazing job yesterday on her message. It was about prayer, and I was just unsettled on what song to sing, and right when I got to church, this song hit me, and I've never sang it before, practiced it, or anything, so thank you. So y'all just worship with me this morning. There's power in prayer.
Some just see someone down on their knees, talking to the air, words lost on a freeze. Some just see teardrops falling to the floor, just a waste of time, not anything more. But it's a direct line trouble all around. He calmed the storm in me. And I remember when I cried out, He saved my soul. Some have their doubts, but I know that I know that I know.
You're facing today, call on His name, pray, and He will answer. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. And darkness tries to hide, and trembles at His voice, and trembles at His voice.
How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God.
Age to age He stands, and time is in His hands, beginning and the end. Beginning and the end, the Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb.
our God.
Everybody sing.
How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great. How great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great, how great,
how great
is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great is our God.
Amen. Hallelujah. He is great, greatly to be praised. Amen. Can we greatly praise him this morning?
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, it is good to feel the mighty presence of Almighty God. Amen. How about that direct line of prayer? And getting someone who really cares. Isn't that wonderful to know? And you know what? Every one of us can be on the line at the same time, and God can speak to each and every one of us. What a blessing that is. Amen. And what a great and mighty God that we serve. Look to your neighbor and tell them, I love you. Amen. Neighbor, tell them, I love you too. What is it? What key is that? E flat. Glory. Well, we're going to try to get a key right here. Why don't you step into the water? Wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Well, it is time we the people stand up for what is right. It is time we squared our shoulders back, raised our swords to fight. For the Bible is our weapon, and the Spirit is our shield. The church needs more of its members to be workers in the field. Why don't you step into the water? Wade out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of His love. Step into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Now there is victory for the Christian who walks the narrow way. There has been a prize appointed for the soul who does not stray. Oh, I want to live for Jesus, be all that I can be, so that I can rest with Him forever, live eternally. Why don't we step into the water? Wade out a little bit deeper. Just wet your feet in the water of His love. Step into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Church, it's time that we the people stand up for what is right. It is time we squared our shoulders back, raised the sword to fight. For the Bible is our weapon, His Spirit is our shield. The church needs more of its members
be workers in the field. Why don't we step into the water? Wade out a little bit deeper. Whip your feet in the water. How is love? Step into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Why don't you step into the water? Wade out a little bit deeper. With your feet in the water of His love. Step into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Come join angels singing. Come join angels singing. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Well, is it time for the church? Step into the water. Amen. Into the glorious blessings that God has provided. Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. God is good. God is great. Amen. All the time. Hallelujah. How many came to receive something this morning? Hallelujah. How many knows it's here for you? Said God is ready. Even before Delta coined the phrase, God is ready when you are. Amen. I'm ready. How about you? I'm ready. Turn to your Bible this morning to the book of Jeremiah. Into the second chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Verses number 11 through 13, where we want to take our message text this morning. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 11, 12, and 13. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. Jeremiah writes, hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, God, we're so thankful, God, that we feel your mighty presence and spirit here this morning. What a great and mighty God you are. Father, I pray, God, that you would just rain down upon this congregation. Pour out of your blessing. Pour out of your anointing. If there's healing, God, to be needed this morning, God, we know that you are the healer. There's deliverance, God, you are the lifter up of our head. Father, I humbly ask now that you anoint these lips of clay. God, use this vessel as you see fit. God, speak to us this morning. God, prick our hearts, convict our soul. Help us, God, to be more about your business. And Father, we'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in the precious holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Jeremiah the weeping prophet, not because he was a crybaby, but he was weeping over the sins of Judah, of Israel. At this particular time in Bible history, Israel was split between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was simply known as Israel. The southern kingdom was known as Judah. Seemed like Judah had strayed even farther than the northern kingdom, if that was possible. A nation blessed, a nation that had been the recipient of blessing after blessing, anointing, miracles. God was their God, and he was their people. In fact, he referred to them as his people. But we find that for whatever reason, and probably not just one reason, but probably numerous or several reasons, the nation of Judah especially began to backslide, began to slide away from the presence of God. I want you to notice one very important scripture here, or verse here in this scripture. The Bible tells us that my people had forsaken me. Not that God had forsaken them. Very different. But they had walked away and forsaken God. And the prophet here moved on by the presence of Almighty God. How many has ever felt the moving of God? How many can agree with me? There's no way anything else in this world can compare to the moving of God. I have felt the moving of God this particular week, and for a number of weeks, if months, maybe, God is trying to get the attention, man, of His people. For so long, we said, God, get the attention of the world. Get the attention of the sinner. Get the attention of those that are lost. Get the attention of our nation. Get the attention of our government. Do you know what? I believe God said, before I can get their attention, I got to get the church's attention. Amen. How many would agree with me? Amen. That the church is where it's going to start. The church is the body of Christ. God will work through a body. But we got to be prepared. We got to be a strong body. We got to be a faithful body. We got to be a committed body. We got to have a focus, and that focus should not be on us, but on the kingdom of heaven. Jeremiah is very concerned about the welfare and the current situation that Judah is in. And God tells him, said, they have committed two evils. Everybody hold your two fingers up. Two evils. Might not say, well, you know what, that ain't too bad. Too bad. You know, a lot of us today would be perfectly happy with that score. How many knows we're not supposed to do evil? And these evils were not just little bitty evils. They were detrimental. And the two evils were that they have forsaken God, the fountain of living waters. That was what he was referred to here. They have cut him off. They have drifted away. I've often said, I don't think backsliding comes and happens overnight. I think it's a gradual process when other things begin to infiltrate our life and we begin to lose God's position in our life, and it begins to step down on our list of priorities. When we find out sooner or later that really worshiping God is not nearly as important as it once was in our way of thinking. And this certainly happened to the children of Israel. So they've committed two evils. The first thing they've done, they've walked away. They've forsaken me, the very life fountain of living waters. The second thing that they have done, they have hewed or dug cisterns, wells, if you would, potholes. Villarica should be acquainted with potholes. Potholes contain water when it rains, correct? They have dug them and hewed them out cisterns or broken wells that can hold no water. Now, in this time, especially in this particular part of the country, there was like a rainy season and a dry season. Kind of like it is in churches. I love the rainy seasons, don't you? How many knows that you better store up enough for the dry seasons? Amen, because dry seasons will come. Amen. Not because God is any less powerful, but circumstances just happen. So the nations around, and especially Israel, would dig out these cisterns in granite or in rock or some hard surfaces. And so when the rainy season would come, it would store up water for their natural uses and for their animals and, you know, something they could rely on, because when the rains quit, a lot of times the springs and the creeks and all began to dry up. But if they were storing up water, they could get by till the next rainy season. But God said, the cisterns are the wells that you have dug are faulty. There's a hole in it. There's a crack in it. And when the rain comes, sure, it fills it up, but it begins to seep out. Slowly, but surely, seeping out the hole. How many knows that water finds the lowest point, and wherever the hole is, it's going to find it, and it's going to seep out. And God used this reference to tell them, or to maybe exemplify, that He is the reigning power. He is the power that gives us living water. Now, it's bad enough that you turned your back on God. It's terrible that you walked away from His blessings. But even more importantly, it's really terrible that you cannot store up his blessings. That you can't seemingly get by from one blessing to another. I begin to be concerned about how that we're not able to retain or keep the blessings and the goodness of God. How soon we forget his blessings. How much we cause those blessings that are within us to leak out and to seep out. And I must admit that there may be a hole in the well. There may be a faulty part that needs patching up. Glory to God. I'm talking to the church now. As Jeremiah was talking to the people of God. As I said earlier, there's a time we must be concerned about the lost. Amen? We've got to be concerned about the lost. But if we can't give them what they need, if we can't help them, if we can't get by one day to the next without our blessings and our victory seeping out of our well, then how are we going to lift them up? How are we going to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ when we can't hardly make it from one service to the next one, when we come in so dry? Would you agree with me that our spiritual wells may need patching? We may need to address the crack or the seepage that allows God's goodness and his blessings to seep out. Tell you a little bit about the first evil. Forsaking God. Would you agree with me there's a lot of evil in the world today? Would you agree with me also that we as mere mortals sometimes put different degree on evil? Some we say, that's just absolutely, terribly evil. But yet we'll say, well, that's pretty evil. Evil is evil. I said evil is evil. I don't believe that the God of mercy and grace classifies evil. All evil is bad. Turn to your neighbor and say, all evil is bad. It's detrimental. We need to get it out of our lives. But the first evil that they committed was they have forsaken God. Forsaken meaning that they're basically saying, you know, a lot of times it's not that they were hateful and aggravating about it. They were just kind of complacent, say, Lord, you know, we just really don't need you right now. Things are going pretty good. We're not in the wilderness anymore. We got plenty of food, so we don't have to rely on the man of heaven. Everything's peaceful around us. No armies are trying to invade us, so we really don't need your strength and the might of our army. So things are going pretty good. So basically, just take a couple of weeks or years off, God, and we'll just do our own thing. Now, that's a simple way of putting it, but that's exactly what had happened to the children of Israel. They began to not need God in their minds. America, wake up! Church, wake up! It may be going good for you. You may have more money than you ever have. You may have the best wife or husband in the world. But I will tell you, in this day and this hour, the most important thing that we can have is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't let it slip away. Don't walk away from God. Don't walk away and turn your back on his mercy and on his grace, because you'll find yourself in a very dry place. So the evil of walking away from God, turning from God, breaking the relationship, if you would. And by breaking the relationship, you're actually refusing his grace and mercy. You're saying, I can make it on my own. There's not a one of us seated here today that can make it on our own. The most astute scholar, the most proficient Bible reader, the most morally straight and upright person that you could ever meet cannot make it without God. The wonderful thing about God, and I want to tell you, there's a lot of people don't understand this, but he'll look at that person and he'll have mercy on them, but he'll also look at that rank sinner, that perverse person, and have mercy on them. I can't explain the love of God. I'm thankful for it, and I believe it, but I can't explain how a deity can love that much. Even people that walk away from him. Even people that refuse to acknowledge him. Even people that say there is no God. He still loves them. Not their actions, but he loves them. And I'm thankful that he does. Because this old sinner needed his love. Amen. And I'm so thankful that his grace and mercy was there for me. But here they have broken the relationship. They have forsaken God. And they're refusing his grace and mercy. Listen, let me tell you something. I mean this from the depths of my heart. If God never, ever blesses me again on this earth, I'm going to thank him forever just for his grace and mercy. If he never heals me again, I got too much to thank him for. For bringing me out of a horrible pit, for filling me with the precious Holy Ghost, for giving me a relationship with him, and making me a home in heaven. Just grace and mercy enough is going to keep me thanking him and praising him for an eternity. That would be bad enough, having committed that first evil. But God tells Jeremiah, they've also committed a second evil. They followed the second evil up by digging wells that hold no water. Now, he used this as a materialistic analogy or a type and shadow or a symbol of what was going on spiritually. You see, it was bad enough that the children of Israel and Judah particularly walked away from the grace and mercy of God, forsook him. But then they began to try to do something to take the place of God. You'll never find anything to take the place of God. Bible history tells us they began to desire the paganistic and the idolatry worship of other nations. I'm a proud American. But America, you don't need to look at the rest of the world and try to be like them. You need to look back, amen, to how this world, this nation was founded. On the principles of God. And you better stand up for the principles of God. Or you'll find yourself with a broken cistern. And the waters of grace and mercy will be slowly sleeping out of that dug well that we call a nation. So they turn from God's grace and mercy. And they begin to erect idols and groves, paganistic worship. Idolatry. You know, idolatry is a word that is found throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, and sometimes we just kind of read over it as something that was happening. But God absolutely hates and despises idolatry. So much so that he included it in one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. In the form of statues, in the form of monuments, in the form of idols, in the form of groves, no other God before me. That includes the things that are beginning to be gods in people's lives today. Maybe you don't have a statue built in your yard or anywhere around there, but I would dare say there are people today that worship things in their life more than they worship God. Just remember, God despises and abhors idolatry. So it wasn't bad enough that they committed the first evil of walking away and forsaking God, but then they began to desire a different way. I want to share something with you. Religion may be modernized, but salvation can never be modernized. Are you with me? The religious world has decided that we need to modernize. Be more appealing. Be more inclusive. Be less harsh. Preach more promises. Preach more blessings. And hey, promises and blessings is a part of relationship with God. But if our spiritual wells have got a hole in it, come on, we're going to find ourselves waterless. We're going to find ourselves with our blessings leaking out. I want to tell you how that the Spirit of God moves, and as I was reading this, in fact, God laid this on my heart before I ever went to Jeremiah. I remembered the story of Jeremiah. But as a pastor, I'm somewhat perplexed as a human being, as a child of God. I'm a little concerned, and please don't be offended. It's just an observation. Please don't think that I'm just talking about this congregation. But I have witnessed, and maybe you have too, born-again children of God today that can't seem to hold their blessing. Can't seem to hold their deliverance. Constantly battling to keep their victory. Now, I'm not saying that some of it is warranted. I'm not saying that some of it is terrible things that we have to go through. The Bible tells us. Have many afflictions. We're going to have circumstances. We're going to have problems. We're going to have issues. We're going to have our stumbling blocks. But he also promises that he's greater than any of those. Greater is he that is within us. And it's perplexing and somewhat disturbing to me as a pastor to see folks who seemingly can't hold their blessing, can't keep their victory. I want to share something with you. Victory doesn't leave you on a bad week. Come on, people. The victory don't leave you. His grace doesn't leave you when you've had a difficult day. His mercy doesn't walk out the door when you're suffering an affliction. In fact, seemingly that's when he's stronger with us, when we're going through the trial. Mercy and grace may not keep you out of a fiery furnace. Ooh, but it'll keep you through it. Glory. Hallelujah. Mercy and grace doesn't tell us or encourage us or ensure us that we'll never be faced with hungry lions. It does assure us they won't bite us. Hallelujah. I said, it does assure us that they won't bite us. You ever faced a hungry lion? I'm not talking about the big African lion. I'm talking about that person that you work with. God forbid it's that person you live with. If it is, you need to get victory real quick. God forbid that it's somebody at the register. I don't care. I'll wait as long as this line is. I ain't going over there by her. She's never in a good mood. Or, you know what? I'm so sorry. I'm not a sexist. I said she's not. It could be a he. Not very often, but it could be. Those roaring lions. And you know what we want to do to a roaring lion? Be honest. Give them a piece of our mind. Punch them in the face. Give them back exactly what they're giving us. Give them a hard time. But you know everything I read about Daniel? I don't think the lions have ever seen anybody thrown into a lion's den. He wasn't afraid. Just a direct line. I said a direct line with someone who cares. Isn't that what the song says? You got it. You got it. You got it. I got it. Amen. A direct line. You know what? I will assure you, when you're in the den of a lion and all those things are coming around you, God in heaven knows exactly what you're going through. And you know what? He said, call me. You got a direct line. Just call me. We're going to get through it. We're going to get victory. Hallelujah. There is nothing, amen, that can harm you as long as your faith is in the power of the Lord God. You know what? We'll just build some statues and worship these idols, just like, because that seems to be the popular thing now. Worship. We want to fit in. Let me tell you something. This may seem abrupt, but throughout history, God's church has never really fit in. You don't really fit in when you're a born-again child of God.
So you're not going to compromise. Amen. You're not going to be overwhelmed by what they do. You're going to still stand for the Lord and let the world go by. Glory to God. And you know that this is not your eternal home, but I got a place. Come on, somebody. I got a place up there. I got a glorified body waiting on me. Amen. I'm not going to let the grace and mercy seep out of my life. I'm going to need it every day of my life, and I'm going to thank Him for the blessing. But not here. The second evil was digging broken wells that hold no water. Turning to other things. Or we're quick to point out the idols. There's people today that have let other things come between them and God. I don't have to name them. You know exactly. So many things in the world. Satan is probably the root cause of most of them. There's things that we put ourselves in jeopardy with, spiritually. Seeking pleasure rather than seeking to please God. I don't like that, church. Every time I go, I feel convicted. I do too, and I'm the pastor. But that's a good thing. Because let me tell you something. I am human. Flesh and blood. The spirit that is within me is perfect, but this flesh is a far cry from it. I need direction. I need encouragement. I need discernment. And I need guidance. Sometimes that guidance is not him putting his arms around and saying, I love you. It's him putting his hand in mine and said, I'm going to lead you. And I'm going to direct you. Amen. That's love too. That strong love and tough love. Seeking pleasure rather than seeking to please God. Enticed by the world and the things that are in it. I'm reminded of those today that can't seem to their blessing. Hold on to their victory. Hold on to their joy. I'll tell you something about joy. Joy doesn't leave you when you go through hard times. You know, some people don't understand. You can frown and still have joy. But if you get to thinking about the joy rather than your problem, that frown's going to turn upside down. You're going to say, you don't fall, Lord. I'm not facing this. Whatever it is, we're going to make it. Whatever problem arises, God, you're greater than it. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm going to trust you. Glory to God. Fill me up, Lord. Glory to God. You know, I'm going to confess, the fluctuation of gas prices sometimes keeps me from filling my tank. Because I've seen it go up and I've seen it come down, so I am playing the odds. Sometimes I win, sometimes I don't. But I put just, listen church, I put just enough gas in my tank until I get there again. Banking on that it's going to drop 2 or 3 cents. And I drive into that gas station just as tickles and I'm saving 2 cents or 3 cents on a gallon again. Wasn't I smart by not filling up yesterday? But it sure is discouraging when I go in there and I didn't fill up and it's up jumped up a dime. Have you noticed it goes up faster than it comes down? Church, I'm so afraid that many people are not getting filled up when they get to church. Not because the tanks aren't there. They're there. I said the Spirit of the Lord is real. The Spirit of the Lord is here. There is no reason you leave this place today half full. But you know what half full is? It's half empty. I'm half full. No, you're not. You're half full. You're half empty, rather. That's what Daddy used to tell me. Every time I took Daddy anywhere, the first thing he did when he got into the car or the truck, he peeped over to see how much gas you got, boy. Daddy, I got a half tank. Better fill up. You see, he grew up in a time where there wasn't a QT and a racetrack on every corner. And a lot of them wasn't open on the weekends. You better have a full tank all the time. Church, you better keep your tank full. God forbid, but what if the church doors are closed and can't get in? I want to be full when I come in. Thank you, Jesus. How many has ever had a light bulb go off above your head? Most of the time, mine's burned out, but mine just lit up.
Well, it must not have been important because I just lost my train of thought.
Don't worry. Thursday night at 12 o'clock, I'll remember it. And I'll get praise. Glory to God. But walking in and not filling up. Oh, there it is. It's one thing to walk out of the church filled up. You want to see revival? You want to see healing? You want to see deliverance? What if we come in filled up? Woo, glory. Oh, about to get happy. I've heard about all my spiritual life. The church is a filling station. I somewhat take exception to that. We need to be filled when we get here. And if we're filled, we can have a burnout. Because my tank's full. Brother Chris, we can cut donuts. You ever see NASCAR when they win? Gets that gas, it was so precious to get him through that last lap. He's got enough now to go round and round and round and round burning the rubber. Well, you want to see revival? Come in full of the Holy Ghost. Come in full of the power. Come in full of victory. Holding on to your blessing. We'll have a spiritual burnout. Glory to God. We'll have so much praise and worship, the devil can't stand it. But we're used to running on half empty.
If you have a hole in your gas tank, no matter how many times you fill it up, you're not going to get good gas mileage. Why has always happened to me?
We used to praise the devil.
We'd have a Holy Ghost filled service on Sunday night, and I'd walking out the door. Boy, I hate to see tomorrow. The devil's going to be so mad. Come on, amen. We've all said that. Because we had such a time in the Lord, we just come. And you know what? We went out expecting Monday morning to be awful. And the devil going to be on our case. And you know what? He was. But we done let our victory seep out when we walked out of the service. Tell you about David. David was put in charge of his father's flock on the back 40. And he was there and not only feeding the sheep and caring for the sheep, he had to protect the sheep. And the Bible tells us that a lion came. Now, here's the thing. If we read this, David did not wait for the lion to come up and get into the herd of sheep. Went after the lion. And he slew it. And not long after that, a bear came out. He didn't give the bear a chance to get any of the sheep. He went after the bear. Church, have we got enough faith? Not to wait on Satan to come after us, but let's just go after him. Where is he? I'm going to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Careful of doing that to your supervisor. You might get fired. You might want to do that in your own office. I know they say I have an open door policy, but that closed mighty quick if you go in and face it. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. He said, that's fine. Go pick up your check. Man, God gives us discernment too. But I'm saying that, you know, it's kind of ridiculous and comical, but how many times do we face Satan in situations like that? And he's already got us afraid. And we're already retreating. Face that. God not only gives us strength, he gives us boldness.
David was equipped with strength and boldness, and it helped him in his latter years as God anointed him to be king. So many times we let our spiritual blessings in the form of God said that he is that life-giving water, we let it seep out. Now, I'm not saying this altar is not always open. It is. But sometimes I wonder, have we kind of let that victory slide? Healing is, we understand healing. And we understand if you're sick, any among you sick, let them call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and pray the prayer of faith. Sickness comes on sometimes when you can't even rebuke it. You have to have prayer. But sometimes those spiritual blessings and deliverance and victory and joy kind of creep out of our life from one service to another. And I'm saying they shouldn't. They shouldn't. Amen. We should be so full of the grace and the mercy and the blessing, the anointing and the joy and the victory God gives us. And power. We got power after the Holy Ghost is coming. Amen. We need to use it, and we need to make sure that we're constantly filled. So church, basically, in essence, we need to learn how to hold on to our blessings. Oh, I wish Jacob was here. He could testify. Took him all night, but he held on. I don't know if too many Christians tonight or today would be willing to pray and struggle all night long to hold on to a blessing, but we must be able and willing to do so. And you know what? Satan understands authority. He doesn't understand anything else. When you speak to him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will flee from you according to the Bible. Devil, you're not getting my blessing. Simply put, you're not getting it. Not this. Please don't get my blessing. Devil be all over you. But devil, you're not getting it. You're not going to get my victory. And he says, yeah, but things are going bad. I don't care. You're still not getting my victory. This is my happy face. Amen. We are, yes, affected so much by our feelings rather than our faith. I'm going to be real honest with you. You're not going to always feel like shouting. But you want a blessing? My daddy got one in a little church in Rockmart one time. He was testifying and hadn't been a real, real good week. And there wasn't too much to be joyous about, but he loved church. And he said, you know what? I don't really feel like shouting, but the Bible says jump for joy. By 6 foot and that little bit of low ceiling, he was jumping for joy. I'm glad he was wearing a flat top and not a puffy hairdo. Because I thought he was going to stick his head through the ceiling. But you know what he did? He got everybody blessed. That's a simple thing, but he says, you know what? I don't feel like jumping. I don't feel like shouting. But the Bible said jump for joy. And you know what? The joy just took over his life. Church, we need to learn to hold on to our blessing in spite of all the things that we have to endure. Hebrews 10, 22 and 23. The writer says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. That means full, running over faith. From an evil, and having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast. Everybody say hold fast. You know what that means? Don't let go. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Is your tank full? Does it feel like when you fill it up, it's empty before Wednesday night? Amen. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have a desire to be back every church service. That's different. But if it's so drained, you can't get back. Maybe during the week something's seeping out that shouldn't. Check what it is. What is it that's getting your victory? What is it that's taking your joy away from you? There's nothing worth this world, in this world, worth losing your victory and your deliverance from, or your blessing. So if you don't remember anything else about this message, please try to understand that when God gives a blessing, He's not giving you that blessing to discard or give away. That's your blessing. As Sister Jennifer says, He's working a miracle. One, just now, He's making just explicitly for you. That's how much God cares about you. It's not cookie-cutter blessings. He knows your circumstance. He knows your situation. He knows your problem when you don't even tell Him about it. And He's customizing and making and forming a blessing and a miracle just for you. And my message to you is, do not let Satan or the cares of this world steal that blessing from you. Would you stand? Yes, ma'am. Every head bowed as she gets ready to read. Absolutely. And you know what? That didn't just happen overnight. It's been a slow process over the years. Satan and the world has found out if we won't put up a fight, they'll just keep doing it. They'll just keep doing it. Man. So we got to stand for the truth and stand on the Word of God. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Sister Jennifer, if y'all would, come play something very softly. There is a, I guess, the little arrow that everybody knows to look at when you get into your car. And that arrow lets you know. In fact, some of the later model cars will tell you exactly how many miles you can drive before you're empty. I want you to look at their spiritual meter. And if you're living and abiding in somewhere between a quarter of a tank and a half a tank, maybe you just need to get it filled on up. Now let's get our mind off of our car and off of the gas. And let's relate that to our spiritual walk with God. If you just got enough of the power of God just to get by, maybe you need to come and refill and refresh. This altar is open for every cause, for every need, whether it be sickness, affliction, problems, issues. God that I serve is greater than all. So as they play something, this is your opportunity. Every saint of God praying, please, no one looking around. This is a time to reverence the Holy Spirit of God that's in this place. If you have a need, please come. If you feel like you're drained, please come. We'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Brother Woody needs prayer.
up, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, lead me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up.
Man, to the blind, from water to wine. give you a miracle. I know He'll give you a miracle.
I know Jesus will give a miracle, because Jesus is a miracle man. He gave sight to the blind. He turned water to wine, all at His command. He gave life to the ruler's daughter. He allowed Peter to walk on the water. Jesus is a miracle man, and He'll
give you a miracle.
I know He'll
give you a miracle.
I know Jesus will give a miracle, because Jesus is a miracle man. Because Jesus is a miracle man. Because Jesus is a miracle man.
Jesus is a miracle man.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
No longer a slave to sin. Say this with me.
I am a
child of God.
Child of God.
Say it one more time.
I am
a child of God. Now give Him praise in the house. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Are you thankful to the Lord this morning? Are you going to hold on to that blessing? Hold on to that healing? Hold on to that victory? God bless you. We love you so very much. I really appreciate this side of the church filling up this morning. Not that I don't appreciate this side. I do too. But I've had a crick in my neck, and I can't look that way too much. So y'all got preached to today, because but it's better now. I might just preach to y'all later. Amen. God is good, isn't He? Hallelujah. Look to your neighbor and tell him you love him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, it is. Amen.
Hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle. Victory, victory is yours. Joy, joy is yours. If you just hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle, joy, joy is yours. I want to say God has given me joy. Through trials and tribulation, climbing every mountain and hill in my life, I never have a sad day. Rather, it's just beans on the table and cornbread. I say thank you, Jesus. And he let me know that I have joy. You'll hardly ever see me complain about anything, because all our needs, he supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory.
Yes, hallelujah.
Well, amen to that.
Woo!
Man, she just preached to me.
Praise
the thankful for beans and cornbread, and I am too, but I said, Lord, I need some buttermilk to go with it. Sometimes we're never satisfied, are we? Every head bowed. Heavenly Father, you've been so gracious to us and so good. Father, we thank you for the blessings, God, that you bestowed upon us. And help us to remember, Lord, they're our blessings. And we're not going to give them up. It's our joy. And we're not going to relinquish it. Father, I pray for protection as we leave today. Lead us and guide us and direct us. Keep us safe. Lord, I pray for those who are in need of prayer. Many are sick. Many are afflicted, God. Some are traveling. I pray, God, that you would sustain all. We're just going to give you one more thanks, and we love you. Until we meet again, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful day.